Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.
Anandalilamaya vigrahaya himava divyacha visundaraya tasmai mahaprema rasa pradaya chaitanya chandraya namo namaste. Mancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita the different reasons why Lord Krishna came to this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He devotes one entire chapter to explain the esoteric reasons, the confidential reasons for the appearance of the Lord. In Adilila chapter 4, Krishnas Kaviraj explains the confidential reasons, the inner reasons, Krishna's personal desires for coming. Of course, it was time to spread the Yuga Dharma, Nam Sankirtan. But that can be done by other avatars of the Lord, Gaur Narayan. But Rasaraj Mahabhav, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, only comes once in a day of Brahma. So Krishnas Kaviraj explains, what was Krishna thinking like? What was he thinking before he came here and adopted the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So this Leela is a pastime. So like all pastimes, you can start it off with a phrase, once upon a time. Once upon a time in Goloka Vrindavan, after billions of years had passed, once upon a time, every 4 billion years or so, Krishna sits down, feeling overwhelmed and amazed by the extraordinary pure love of Srimati Radharani. And then he begins to think over. He thinks about himself in relationship and comparing himself and contrasting himself to Srimati Radharani. And he says that everyone says that I'm Purnananda. This is a term he uses, Purnananda. Everyone says that I am Purnananda, that I am made of complete bliss, that Ananda, joy, happiness is my very mind and body and heart. I'm made of that. Ananda Mayi. I'm Purnananda. And I am Purna Rasa Rupa. Purna Rasa Rupa. I am the form. My form, Satchidananda Vigraha, is Purna Ras. It is full of Ras. I am Rasaraj, Sri Krishna, Rashika Shekhar. I am the embodiment of all Ras. But I see that the love of Srimati Radharani, her love is so extraordinary, it drives me mad. Radha Prem Unmat. The Bengali is explaining Radha Prem Unmata. That I become completely mad. Radha's love drives me mad. What is it? Because if I look at myself, I see that my form, my body is more beautiful than 10 million cupids. And I'm all attractive. Everyone in the universe is attracted to me. I am known as Madan Mohan. I'm so attractive to the eyes of everyone. But I see that when I see the form of Radharani, I become completely attracted to her. All my attraction, I find so much satisfaction by seeing the beautiful form of Radharani. Although the entire three worlds is attracted to my form. And they call me Krishna, the all-attractive one. And Madan Mohan, the one who can conquer over Cupid, but this Radharani's beautiful form, her form is so beautiful and sweet that she bewilders me and captivates my mind. She is Madan Mohan Mohini. And I see that the sound of my flute, when I play the flute, the entire universe, the entire three worlds are captivated. Everyone is captivated. Moving beings, non-moving beings, animals, humans, every living entity is captivated by the sound of my flute. But I myself become completely charmed by the Radha Vachana, by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. And my body, the fragrance of my body, the fragrance of my body lends fragrance to the entire universe. It is a source of fragrance for the whole universe. Krishna explains that. He says, Prithvi Gandha Asmi. He says, I am the original fragrance of the earth. So many wonderful aromas and scents and fragrances come from the earth via plants and seeds and different oils. But the origin of all that fragrance is Krishna. So Krishna is saying, the whole universe is filled with fragrance because of my body, but I find that I am completely attracted to the Radha Anga Gandha. Radha Anga Gandha. The wonderful fragrance of Radharani's body totally charms my senses. And then, when I play my flute, the sound of my flute, everyone is... I said that, the flute, there's the flute, the fragrance, and then the touch. That my touch, the touch of my body, this is all Krishnas Kaviraj is explaining Krishna's thinking. The touch of my body is more cooling than 10 million moons. The touch of my body is so cooling. It says Krishna Sparsha Koti Indu Shitala. It's more cooling than millions of moons. But yet I find that Radharani, she's Shushitala. Shushitala, her body is 10 million times more cooling than my body. So in this way, Krishna is comparing that everyone in the universe is attracted to his fragrance, to his sound, his beautiful form, but he is totally attracted to Radharani. Her fragrance, the sound of her voice, fragrance of her body, her sweet words. And then he explains that, the next thing he analyzes is the happiness that I find. So I'm attracted to Radharani and I find so much happiness from her. And when I see Radharani, I feel so much happiness. But what the happiness that Radharani gets from seeing me, when Radharani has my darshan, she gets 10 million times more happiness. How is this possible? How is she getting so much happiness? And when she smells the fragrance of my body, if the breeze blows, carries the fragrance of my body to a distant place where Radharani is standing, and she smells the fragrance of my body, that sweet aroma, she wants to run into that, she wants to fly into the breeze. She runs in that direction, completely maddened by that fragrance. An example of that ecstasy is in Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, in the Puri Leela of Lord Chaitanya. Did he enter that garden? And when he entered that garden, he felt the presence, because Lord Chaitanya and Puri is in Radha Bhav, Radha feeling separation from Krishna, searching for Krishna. When he entered the garden, he felt the presence of his beloved, or her beloved. And then suddenly, Lord Chaitanya smelled the fragrance of Krishna, and he became mad. He started running everywhere, all over the garden. Where is that fragrance? And his nostrils were flaring and he was breathing deeply. And then suddenly he saw Shyam Sundar standing under the Ashok tree in his threefold bending form. And then he ran to embrace, Lord Chaitanya ran to embrace Krishna, but then Krishna disappeared. So this is the, when Radharani smells, she wants to run into that direction. And when Krishna, he gets so much pleasure from the sound of Radharani's voice, but the pleasure that Radharani gets from the sound of Krishna's flute is so great that even if she doesn't hear his flute and hears something like his flute, she goes crazy. Because that becomes completely bewildered. And we said that Krishna finds pleasure in hearing the Radha Vachana, the sweet words of Radharani. But Radharani finds pleasure in Krishna's words, but Krishna's Kaviraj, or Krishna's recounting, what pleasure she finds from the sound of my flute. If she simply hears the sound of some bamboo trees in the forest rubbing together, they're rubbing together, they make some kind of sound, and she thinks in her bewilderment, in her brahm, as the word he uses is her brahm, her prem brahm, this bewilderment of prem, she thinks, oh, this is Murlidhar, this is Vamsidhari, he's playing his flute. And then she runs and she sees, oh, there he is. And then she embraces a tamal tree. And she thinks, she's so overwhelmed by hearing the sound of these bamboos, thinking it's the sound of Krishna's Venu Madhurya, sweet flute, that she embraces a tamal tree. And she thinks, oh, now I'm embracing Krishna. And she's relishing how she's offering herself for the pleasure of Krishna in the form of a tamal tree. And Krishna's seen this. So he's amazed how much pleasure she gets. So in this way, Krishna's becoming very much bewildered by the intense prema of Radharani. So then he's developing an intense desire to experience that prema of Radharani for himself. And then three desires awaken in him. And to fulfill these three desires, Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those three desires are mentioned in the Adi Lila, chapter 1 in verse 6. Then again in Adi Lila, chapter 4, the whole explanation of these three desires is given very elaborately. And this is the verse, Adi Lila 4. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrishovana Yeva Swadyo Yinad Bhutamarudima Kidrishova Madhya Sokyam Chasya Madanubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tadbhavadya Samajani Shachigarbha Sindo Harindo Harindu. Krishna, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Shachidevi as the moon appeared from the ocean. So to go through each of these desires, these are the three internal reasons why Krishna came to this world. The first one that's mentioned is Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. This Radha Pranaya Mahima, the first desire that Krishna had, he wanted to understand what is the greatness of this love of Srimati Radharani. What is this special great, this mahima, the glories, this special love I see that she's tasting and relishing. I want to understand and I want to perceive that, but in my position that's not possible. So I have to take her position. So the first desire is Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. So it's interesting, the word is used pranaya. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. Kidrisho. Kidrisho, the word kidrisho is mentioned three times. It means, what is this? What is this? What is this? What are the great glories, the exalted glories and exalted nature of Radha Prem? What is this? I cannot understand. I must find out. So this is the first desire. So the word pranaya is actually a type of love. In the the Prem Tattva describes prema has different levels. So there's prema, then it begins, has different flavors and different expressions and different emotions are exchanged between Krishna and his beloved devotees. So there's prema, then it becomes sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. Mahabhav is the topmost level of prema. But this pranaya, sneha, man, pranaya, Krishna's Kaviraj explains that Krishna wants to taste Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. He wants to understand the glories of Radha Pranaya. This special love, pranaya means like prana. Pranaya is a type of love where the beloved feels that their very life breath, their mind, their heart, their senses, everything is simply made, or they're thinking of the pleasure of their beloved. The very breath of their life, their pranaya, their own life resides in the heart of their beloved. They're so much absorbed in thinking of the very life. Their life is the life of their beloved. This is pranaya. So Krishna, he wanted to understand this pranaya. So it's explained that Krishna, he's a supreme controller. This is how Krishna's Kaviraj explains his first desire. That Krishna's controlling thousands and thousands of universes, and all the great demigods, 33 million demigods, are all being controlled by Krishna. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of Krishna. But yet we see that the power of Radha Pranaya, her power of her love is so great that Krishna becomes her disciple. Prem, it said Prem Guru. The Radharani's Prem, this Radha Pranaya, becomes the Guru of Krishna. Krishna has to surrender to Radha's love. He becomes her Shishya, which he explains in his own words in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That I don't understand it. I'm controlling everything and everyone. And I'm moving everything. And the whole universe, and even the atoms, the neutrons and protons are dancing. Dancing because of my direction. But I find myself that I am dancing due to Radha's prem. Radha's prem makes me dance. This is extraordinary. And there's one pastime that explains, Radharani was sitting with all her sakigan. And Brindadevi came and said, and Radharani said, "Where have you come from?" She said, "Oh, I have come from Radhakund." "Oh, what did you see there?" "I saw Krishna there." "Oh, what was Krishna doing?" "Radharani, Krishna was learning how to dance." And Radharani asked, "Oh, Brinda, who is teaching Krishna how to dance?" And Brinda said, "Krishna is seeing your reflection. He's seeing your reflection in every leaf, and every lata, and every creeper, and every leaf. He's seeing your reflection, and he's simply running here and there from tree to plant, seeing your reflection, and dancing before each of your reflections. So you yourself are teaching him to dance by your very reflection." So this is one of the reasons it's explained in this chapter, how Krishna is captivated by this extraordinary love of Srimati Radharani. And it's so, there's so much power that although Krishna has all this grandeur and majesty, and he's Aishwarya, it's described, he is Saraishwarya Purna, he's complete in all opulences, before the sweetness of Radharani's love, he has to give it all up. It all evaporates. He abandons all his power. There's a pastime in springtime, in Govardhan, in Vasant Ras, in Chandra Sarovara. Krishna's there with all his gopis. He's enjoying Ras Leela. Then he decides to play hide and seek. And in Hindi it's called Lukki Lukki. It's kind of interesting because in English we say you hide somewhere and your friend will try to find you. He will try to look here and look there, look and look to find you. So in Hindi it's Lukki Lukki. So Krishna's hiding from Radharani. So then all the gopis, they go looking in different groups. They break into different groups and search parties, searching for Krishna. So they're looking and looking. Then Krishna, he adopts this form of Chaturbhuj Narayan. He displays this Aishwarya, this form of opulence and power and omnipotence. And some of the gopis, they come and they see this Chaturbhuj Narayan at a place called Paita. They fold their hands, "Namo Narayan." And they offer their respects and they go away. But then Radhika comes with all of her intimate sakis, ashtasakis, and Krishna is standing there, and his forearms, when he sees Radharani, his forearms start shaking, and then they start trembling, and his voice gets choked up, his hair starts to stand on end, and when his hair stands on end, because Krishna's hair is very long and black and curly, so when his hair stands then on end, it makes his Vaikuntha crown fly off his head, because his hair goes like that, boink, boing, his crown flies off his head. So when in the presence of the Radha Pranaya, the sweet, overwhelming sweetness of Radha's love, then Krishna, all of his opulence and everything is given up. It's totally abandoned. And he just returns again to his beautiful form, Shamsundar, Damodar Madhav. So this shows that the power that Radharani's prem is so powerful. Of course, we know in this world that love is the greatest force, more forceful than armies or any type of power. Love and beauty are the greatest powers of this world. So Radharani has the greatest love, so she defeats Krishna. Then another example that Krishna is bewildered, that when Radharani enters another type of love, a state of man, where she shows a contrary mood towards Krishna. She shows an unfavorable mood. She doesn't want to meet with Krishna. She doesn't want to see him. She doesn't want to talk to him. She's feeling very unfavorable. Of course, this is only to increase his loving ecstasy. But she displays this type of prem called man, man prem. And she separates by this change of mind and this change of heart. She creates a wall of separation between her heart and the heart of Krishna. So then Krishna has to tax his mind in 1,001 ways how to scale that wall, how to penetrate that wall and again attain the blissful association and service of Srimati Radhika. So at that time when Radharani is in Man, Krishna comes to her. And he comes and he bathes her feet. Krishna bathes Radharani's lotus feet with his tears of submission, his tears of surrender, and his tears of Radha Prem, his pure love for Radha. And sometimes he, in his mood of submission, he offers his very head at her feet. And if that doesn't work, if Radharani is still resisting and not submitting to his surrender and not reciprocating with his submission, then Krishna turns his attention to Radharani's sakis and manjaris, and then he goes with folded hands. You have to understand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Paratattva, the Sarvakarana Karnam, the Maheshwara, Bogeshwara Maheshwara, the every Ishwara, Parameshwara. He goes before a little 12.5-year-old girl with folded hands and he says, "Hey, Rupa Manjari, oh Saki, please, please bless me that I can again win the favor of my beloved Radhika." This is the power of Radharani's love. That Krishna has to go with folded hands and beg the Sakis and Manjaris, "Please help me. I petition you. I beg you. You can see I have nothing left. I have given her my greatest prize. I have given her my mor mukut, my peacock feather. I have given her my vamshi. I have given her my heart. I have put my head at her feet and given her my heart flowing out of my eyes in the form of my tears of surrender, but still she will not reciprocate with me. Please, I beg you, I beg you." This is Radha Pranaya Mahima. Mahima, the great glories of Radharani's love, which mystify the Supreme Lord and chant and captivate Him. What is this love? I must understand this love. But he cannot understand that love in the position he's in. And the analogy that the Acharyas give is a very interesting analogy. There was once a conversation between the mountain, a mountain of ice, and a stream of water. The mountain of ice said to the stream of water, "Oh, stream of water, I'm very thirsty. Will you please give me a drink of water?" Then the mountain stream replied, "Mr. Mountain of Ice, why are you joking with me? You are the very source of my water. And why are you asking me to quench your thirst? You're thirsty. Are you joking with me? I am but your river stream. And you are my husband, the mountain of ice." Then the mountain of ice replied, "But you don't understand. At the cold heights, at the cold height, at the very high elevation, the cold heights that I live on, my water is solid, it's frozen. But you live in the heat of the plains. You live in the heat of the valley, and your water is liquid, and it's flowing. And when I see the flowing of the flowing stream with the beautiful waves and your dancing waves, I become very attracted, and it makes me very thirsty. So I'm begging you to give me a drink of that water." This is the analogy that the Acharyas use to explain the nature of this incredible love of Radharani. That Krishna, he is Purnaishvarya, he is completely full of all opulences, right? And he has Parasya Shaktir Vividaya Shuyate. All the Shaktis are within him. He is made of Ladini Shakti. He is made of Sandini Shakti and Samvit Shakti. Eternality, bliss and knowledge. It is Krishna. He is nothing more than that, than the sum total of his energies. The Energy and the energetic, Purusha and Prakriti, they're inseparable. But that Ladini Shakti residing in Krishna's heart, it is, he cannot get at it. He cannot taste it. It is in a frozen state. Like the frozen water that the mountain of ice cannot drink. But when that Ladini Shakti comes out of him and enters into the heart of his expanded parts and parcels, then when those devotees who develop the pure love, and especially they develop this mood of Vrata Pranaya, which is this Mahabhav, this intense love of separation, when Radharani, when she is the Ladini, she is the embodiment of that Ladini, because in separation from Krishna, that heat of separation, when Radharani is feeling the fire of separation from Krishna, that melts her heart. And what is her heart? Radharani's heart is nothing but a mountain of Ladini Shakti. It is nothing but a solid mountain of prem, a solid mountain of bliss. She is Krishna Mayi. She is made of Krishna. She is made of that Ladini Shakti. So when she's feeling separation from Krishna, then her fire of separation, that mountain of Ladini Shakti starts to melt into a beautiful river. And that beautiful river of her Mahabhav Prem flows out of her heart, out of her eyes, and out of her mouth. When Krishna sees that, he becomes so anxious to taste it. He becomes so thirsty to drink it. But he cannot experience that unless from in his own position he cannot actually taste that. Just like the mountain could not taste the river water because of the cold, he was frozen. So he hankers, I have to take the position of Radharani so I can taste that mountain of Ladini. So that when the prem is in the heart of his devotee and offered back to Krishna, it's so relishable. That Krishna, he and the devotee experiences such happiness that the happiness the devotee experiences millions of times the happiness Krishna experiences. So then Krishna, he becomes very much attracted. So this is the analogy that they use to explain how Krishna is attracted to this incredible Sri Radhaya Pranaya Madhurima. Pranaya Mahima. Now the second desire that Krishna had is explained here. Swadyo yinadbhuta madhurima. The second reason why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to actually taste. When Radharani is offering her incredible love to Krishna, and when she sees Krishna's sweetness, she relishes 10 million times more than Krishna. When Krishna sees the beautiful sweetness of Radharani, he enjoys so much more than anything else in the world. But he sees that the pleasure Radharani gets from seeing him is 10 million times more than his pleasure. And so, as Krishna, he becomes eager, he becomes very curious and eager to taste that sweet, to taste his sweetness. The sweetness of Krishna is so unique, which is described here in Krishna's Kaviraj's and Adi Lila. Krishna's sweetness is so wonderful that even he's attracted to it. And we know that Krishna has four special characteristics: his Veena Madhurya, especially sweet flute; his Rupa Madhurya, his form is so sweet, and his sweetest form in creation; and then his Leela Madhurya, his pastimes; and then his Veena, his Prema, and Leela, and Rupam. But yet, Krishna is so attractive, his beauty is so incredible, that he himself becomes attracted to his own beauty. Once, when Krishna was in Dwarka, he was looking at one of the columns. And as you know, the queens like Rukmini and Satyabhama, although the columns and walls of the palaces of Dwarka are made of coral and lapis lazuli and gold and all valuable stones and gems, and they're always spotlessly clean and pure, the queens are sometimes taking their cloth and they're rubbing the walls just to do some service, although no service is required. It is, the walls are dust-free and spotless and clean, but just to do something to attract the attention of Dwarkadish, they engage in some service. So once Krishna was looking at one of those columns that was shined by the queens, and he saw in that column a beautiful reflection. He saw a reflection of himself, and when he saw that beautiful person, he looked, "Oh, who are you? You're so beautiful. I've never seen you before. I've never seen such beauty before. Oh, I want to embrace you. I want to kiss you. I want to offer you all my love and drink all the love from your heart." And then he put his arms around the column, and then he realized, wait a minute, this is my reflection. So it's Krishna, his beauty is so unique that it even attracts him. What to speak of all of creation. But he sees, although he's attracted to it and he wants to relish it, that the gopis, and especially Radharani, the pleasure they get from Krishna's seeing Krishna's form is Krishna's Kaviraj explains 10 million times the pleasure that Krishna derives by seeing their forms. So this is the nature that her, you can say her sweetness, it's so unlimited. But then Krishna's Kaviraj uses a term, he says prema darpana. And we have Chaito Darpana Marjanam. He says that Radharani's prema is prema darpana. It's like a mirror. The mirror of Radharani's love is spotless and pure. The mirror, the darpan. The mirror of Radharani's love is completely spotless and pure. But its purity is increasing more and more at every moment. This is most astonishing. And this is one of the things about the Madhurima. This is the second desire, this Swadyo Madhurima, Adbhuta Madhurima, that Krishna wanted to taste this sweetness that the gopis and Radharani especially are tasting from his service and from seeing him and being with him. Because this sweetness is within Krishna, but he can't taste it, he can't get at it. So he's saying like this, that there's a relationship. The sweetness of Krishna is in relation to the prema in the heart of his devotees. So as the heart of the devotee becomes more and more clean, like we say, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadavagni, as the heart of the devotee becomes more and more clean, then it can reflect the sweetness of Krishna more and more. And Radharani's heart, her prema is the most pure. The mirror of her heart is completely shining. And so Krishna's sweetness is most reflected there. And therefore she can taste the sweetness of Krishna the most because she has the topmost level of prema for Krishna, this Mahabhav, Adiruddha Mahabhav. So it's explained that for a non-devotee, in the mirror of his heart, the mirror of his heart has no love for Krishna. He has no appreciation there. He cannot appreciate. So the mirror of his heart is covered. There's dirt on his mirror. So the non-devotee cannot appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. The more clean the mirror of our heart is, the more we can swadyo adbhuta madhurima, the more we can taste the sweetness of Krishna. We see Rupa Goswami, he's tasting the sweetness of Krishna's name. Krishna's name is sweet, just like we sing this song, Madhuram Astakam, that Krishna's name is sweet. Namam madaram, lila madaram, venam vanaram, adaram madaram. Krishna, your name is sweet, your rupam madaram, your creation is sweet, your form is sweet, your lips are sweet, your cows are sweet, everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. So Krishna's name is so sweet. When Krishna chants Radhe, 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 he feels overwhelmed with happiness and joy. He completely forgets himself. When Radharani chants Krishna, 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 she enjoys 10 million times more happiness than Krishna. And Krishna sees this. She becomes overwhelmed. She becomes completely senseless by chanting his name. When Krishna chants Radharani's name, sometimes he cries something. But he doesn't become... Radharani, when she chants Krishna's name, she's tasting that sweetness so much that she herself identifies, I am that Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, I am Krishna. They'd see me play the flute, see me dance on Kaliya's heads, see me lift Govardhan Hill. Totally, she identifies her total self. So much she's tasting that prema of Krishna. So when he sees this, he thinks, I don't taste like this. Rupa Goswami explains that the taste of Krishna's name is so sweet, I want millions and millions of names to taste that sweetness. But for us, one tongue is too much. One tongue is too much because our hearts are so covered that the mirror of our hearts is not full of prema so we cannot appreciate the sweetness of Krishna's name. When the mirror of the hearts is full of prema, then we can drink the sweetness of Krishna's name. And another, one of the other features of the love, of the sweetness of Krishna's love, is that the thirst for it, there's no cessation. It never ends. It's not like if some beautiful object of this world, if you look at a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, you look and you say, yes, very nice, very nice, very nice. But as you study minutely, the objects of attraction of this world, you will reach what the psychologists call the satiation point. You will become bored or fed up with that. You say, oh, here's Miss Universe. Like some man wants to see the beautiful form of woman. So he looks at Miss Universe from top to bottom, inside out, left, right, center. And he thinks, so beautiful, perfection of beauty everywhere. But as he looks more and more, he looks and says, wait a minute. One of her ears is 2 millimeters lower than the other one. Her ears are not symmetrical. Ah, a flaw. I found a flaw in this so-called beauty of Miss Universe. Or Mr. Universe, or whatever. So this is material beauty. It fades. It diminishes. It is imperfect. You will find a flaw in it if you examine it. But in Krishna's beauty is flawless perfection in the movement of love. So when Radharani, when she sees that, and then she starts drinking that sweetness, swadyo adbhuta madhurima. This incredible adbhuta, astonishing sweetness of Krishna, she's drinking it through the cups of her eyes, and she thinks, this Brahma is stupid. This Brahma is a foolish creator. He's only given us 2 eyes with which to drink the sweetness of Krishna's relishable form. We should have millions of eyes to drink the sweetness of his body. And not only that, but he's made our eyes in such a way that they blink. Every 40th of a second, the eyes blink. So that is too much for us. If we cannot see Krishna for nimesha, it feels like a yuga and we burn in the fires of separation for 1,000,000 years without seeing Krishna for the blink of an eye. And one verse in the Bhagavatam in Rasa Panchadhai, it says, truti, it uses the term truti in the Sanskrit. Truti means 1/1700th of a second. Inconceivable portion of time. And the gopis are thinking, this sweetness is so intoxicating and so relishable that if I can't drink Krishna's sweetness or see him for 1/1700th of a second, my life is worthless. So this Krishna has seen this, and so he desires, when he sees this, how the gopis relish and taste his sweetness, he thinks, my sweetness is adbhuta. This is adbhuta madhuri. Adbhuta means astonishing, astounding. So this is the second reason that Krishna, he wants to come and taste the sweetness that Radharani derives by loving Krishna. What is the sweetness? I want to taste it. But unless I take the position of the ashraya, the reservoir of love, because I am the vishai, I am the object of love. Unless I take the position of my devotee, the reservoir of love, I cannot understand or know or experience or taste my sweetness. It's like the sugar. Sugar doesn't know its sweetness. Sugar cannot tell its sweetness, nor can the tongue, is the analogy they use. But in the union of the two, the sweetness is experienced. The sugar is sweet, but sugar does not know its sweetness. And the tongue alone does not know sweetness, but when you combine sugar with the tongue, then the sweetness is perceived. That's why the sweetness of Krishna is perceived in relation to the amount of prema in the heart of the devotees. So Krishna sees, this Srimati Radharani, she is my greatest devotee. She is tasting the topmost form of love, and she is relishing a sweetness that is constantly increasing at every moment. In fact, there's a transcendental competition between Krishna's beauty and the gopi's prema. And this is what you can say the original beauty contest. Like we mentioned about Miss Universe and all, Mr. Universe or Mr. World or, you know, kind of thing. But the original beauty contest is the contest of the beauty contest between Krishna and the gopis. That the gopis, they
the speciality of their love is that the they're just existing at every moment to give pleasure to Krishna and never thinking anything for themselves. They're completely, you know, forgetting about themselves. So this creates, when Krishna sees, like for example, when the gopis dress, they dress themselves very beautifully and decorate themselves, nice garlands and jewelry and all painted nicely, kunkum, kasturi, everything. Not for their own ego gratification or a sense of, oh look, I look great, or any pleasure for themselves. They're thinking that Krishna, when he sees this beauty, when he sees this beauty that is collected here, somehow or other, he will enjoy so much happiness. So they dress themselves only to give happiness to Krishna. And then when they go before Krishna and he sees their beauty, when he sees how beautiful they look, then he swells with happiness and his sweetness increases. And when the gopis see how happy that Krishna has become, when the gopis see how happy Krishna has become by relishing their beauty, then what happens is that enhances their prem. Their prem increases. And when Krishna sees, oh, the gopis are increasing, their prem is increasing, they're becoming more attractive, then Krishna's beauty increases. And this way there's a transcendental competition. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. The beauty, the sweetness of Krishna's beauty is always increasing, and it's being reflected on the prema-filled hearts of the gopis, and that increases their prema, and that increases the reflective quality of their heart, the chaito-darpanam. The mirror of their heart becomes even more shiny and more pure. And when Krishna sees, he sees himself in the heart of the gopis' prema. In the gopis' prema-filled hearts, he sees himself. That is where he's seeing himself. He's seeing, oh, I'm so beautiful, and their prema is so wonderful, then his sweetness increases more, and it goes on and on like this, unlimitedly. So this is adbhuta, this is inconceivable. That Krishna, that he sees that his sweetness, that he, when the gopis, they relish there, it increases unlimitedly, millions and millions of times, their happiness increases by seeing his sweet form. The term that's used, it says that the beauty and fullness of the gopis' faces and bodies increases millions and millions of times upon seeing the sweetness of Krishna. So seeing this, Krishna becomes attracted and captivated. I want to taste the sweetness that Radharani is experiencing by relishing and tasting my sweetness. So this is the second reason why Krishna appears. The third reason is given by Krishna's Kaviraj, Sokyam Chasya Madanubhavata. Says that the happiness Radharani feels when she realizes the sweetness of Krishna's love. So when Radharani and all the other gopis, when they taste this sweetness, this inconceivable, astonishing, adbhuta madhurima, astonishing sweetness of Krishna, it fills them with such an incredible happiness. But the unique feature of the gopis' love is they don't want any happiness for themselves. When they dress themselves, it is only for the pleasure of Krishna. And when they enter the rasa dance, and they embrace Krishna, and they kiss Krishna, and engage in other amorous activities, people, mundane people, say, oh look, the gopis are lusty. They're going there for their own pleasure. But this is incorrect. This is absolutely wrong. Because lust is a product, this lust, this selfishness, selfishness and enviousness, of pleasure for oneself, this is produced by Krishna's Maya Shakti. But the gopis' loving dealings, the gopis' amorous dealings and loving service to Krishna, this is a product of Krishna's Swarup Shakti, his own personal Shakti. Their love is totally pure. In fact, the gopis' amorous dealings with Krishna is a manifestation. It is a manifestation of the purity of their love, the purity of their desires, simply to give pleasure and satisfaction to Krishna. That is all they care about. So this is, and they experience so much happiness from this. But the gopis don't want happiness. Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining when he describes his third desire. The gopis don't want any happiness for themselves. They give everything for Krishna. As explained that the gopis are, it's like Vanacharya explains that their selfishness, where we want to take for ourselves and exploit and enjoy for ourselves. Then there's selflessness, where we want to give to others, we want to give something or help others, but actually underneath it all, our so-called selflessness is also selfish, because we want something out of it. We want our name on the wall, I did this service, or we want our name printed in something, or we want the inner satisfaction. But the gopis' loving service to the Lord is characterized or described, the nature of it is self-forgetful. They forget themselves. They are so absorbed, Radharani and the Sakis are so absorbed in thinking about Krishna's pleasure and acting in such a way to give enjoyment and satisfaction to Krishna, they completely forget about themselves. They forget about their names, their fame, their everything. There's a verse in Adi 4 where Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining how they forget everything. And he explains in Adi 4:167, Lokadharma, Vedadharma, Dehadharma Karma, Lajadarya Deha Sukha Atma Sukha Marma, Dustija Aryapata Nija Parijan Swajane Karaya Jata Tarana Bartsan, Sarvatyagi Kari Kari Krishna Bhajan, Krishna Sukha Hetu Kari Prema Sevan. He's listing all the things that the gopis renounce. They forget everything. They forget social customs, scriptural injunctions, bodily demands, karma, fruit of actions, lajja, shyness, patience, their own bodily pleasures, their own self-gratification, the path of Varnashram Dharma. The gopis forsake all these things. They don't care about any of these things. They don't care about their husbands. They don't care about their mother-in-laws, their relatives. They don't care about any punishment or scolding. About is the pleasure of Krishna. So this is explaining this, the self-forgetful. But yet, the gopis experience so much happiness. In serving Krishna, as Krishna observes, the gopis experience 10 million times more happiness than he gets from tasting and enjoying their love. Although the gopis, they don't want happiness. And how do the gopis get happiness? How do they actually get happiness? Where does their happiness come from? Their happiness actually just it rebounds, or you could say it comes from Krishna. Because they're so much fixed on pleasing Krishna, making Krishna happy, that when they're successful in their service and Krishna becomes very happy, that incredible happiness that Krishna's relishing in his heart automatically flies into their heart and rebounds or reflects into their heart. But when it hits their heart, because the intensity of their prema and the brilliance of their prema dharpan, the brilliance of the mirror of their prema, when the happiness that Krishna is feeling from their service reflects in their heart, it multiplies 10 million times. And they feel 10 million times more happiness than the happiness that Krishna feels from seeing them or dancing or enjoying with them. And they can't stop it. They can't do anything about it. Just like devotees, when they go to Baba Bhakti or Prema Bhakti, they become like madmen. This prema is making me dance. They become uncontrolled. They can't control it anymore. They're being controlled by the love of Krishna, by the surrendered service of Krishna. He's making them move and dance. And the devotees at this level, like the gopis and Radharani, although they're experiencing so much this sokyam, this happiness is mentioned here, if that happiness interferes with their service, they don't want it. It's quite opposite of our position. We say that we're looking for the nectar. Nectar hounds. Nectar hounds. Where's the nectar? Prabhu, where's the nectar? I want the nectar. I don't want to sweep the floor and do the needful services that are required. I want the nectar. We want the bliss. Where's the bliss? People, they go here and there looking for the bliss. I want the bliss. I want the happiness. But we see in the spiritual world, they don't want the happiness. They condemn the bliss. They condemn it. When Dwarka is fanning Krishna and Dwarka with the chamara, and he's beholding the beautiful form of Dwarkadish, his heart starts to fill with wonderful ecstasies, and it creates sattvic bhavs and transformations in his body, and his hand starts to perspire. Perspiration starts flowing out of his body and tears start flowing from his eyes, and he's trying to fan. But this golden handled chamara with the jewels on it, his hand is all full of perspiration that's slipping from his hand. He goes like this and it almost flies out of his hand and lands on Dwarkadish's head. Because he's trembling with ecstasy, trying to do his service. So he says, he condemns that ecstasy. Out! I don't want this ecstasy. Get out. It's interfering my service. Or once Radharani was on the banks of the Yamuna near Keshigat, And Krishna came there with all the cows and boys, and the cows were drinking water, the crystal clear water, Jamuna, and the boys were frolicking and playing and splashing in the water, and the gopis were moving, but they heard the sound of Krishna's buffalo horn and all the boys, so they were hiding in a kunj. They just want to watch Krishna. They want to, you can say, eavesdrop on Krishna. This is a very relishable pastime for lovers to secretly observe the beloved. Everyone knows. Like Mother Yashoda, sometimes she sees Krishna crawling, and he's looking this way and that way, looking for Mother Yashoda. And so she sees him before he sees her, so she hides behind a column very secretly to watch his facial expressions and how he's looking this way and that way. So she relishes that, and she lets him go. He goes in the storeroom, he breaks the pot, he steals the butter, and then she goes, oh, and pretends she never knew what was happening. So like this, Radharani's watching Krishna. And as she's watching Krishna, she's feeling so much happiness, so much sokyam, this wonderful happiness from seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. She starts crying and crying and crying. But as those streams of tears flow over her eyes, it temporarily blinds her, and she cannot see Krishna. Because of that ecstatic, that premashu, those tears of love covered her vision, and then she condemned that ecstasy. Get out! I can't see Govinda! Why are these tears coming? Stop! Stop! So the more she tried to stop the tears, the more the tears came. So their happiness is so great, but even when it comes, they don't want the happiness, where we want the happiness. Hey Prabhu, I'm so unhappy in Krishna consciousness. Where's the happiness? I want to be happy. I want bliss. I want happiness. But in that realm, in the realm of Goloka, they want service. Seva, seva, seva. Of course they're relishing such ecstasy in the course of that seva. Inconceivable. But nevertheless, this is the, and Krishna is amazed by this, seeing that everyone in the universe wants to draw happiness from me, and they draw happiness from me, and I draw so much unlimited happiness from the gopis, but the happiness they get from me is 10 million times more than the happiness I experience. I want to experience this. I want to know this. I want to taste. I want to know this happiness that Radharani feels by serving me and relishing my sweetness. So this is the third desire. Why Krishna came. But Krishna, this special love that he's attracted to in Radharani, he could easily beg for it. He could beg for that love. But Krishna, as you know, he's not accustomed to begging. If you want something, you can beg, you can borrow, or you can steal it. And as you know, stealing is much more relishable. There are many, many cases around the world of very rich people, crorepotties, millionaires, going into a department store, going into some store, looking here and there, and taking one hairbrush, sticking it under their shirt, and trying to walk out of the store. The guy has millions of dollars in the bank. Then he gets caught, and the policemen say, "Why did you steal that hairbrush? 20-rupee hairbrush. You have 20 crores of rupees in the bank." "You don't understand. If I buy that hairbrush, there is no taste. There is no rasa. But if I steal that hairbrush, there is rasa. There's some excitement. My heart is palpitating. When I come in and buy a hairbrush, okay, here, a hairbrush, here, 20 rupees. But if I steal it, my mind is trembling. My heart is palpitating. There's sweat in my palms. I want to have that feeling. I want to feel that sweat and feel that palpitation. That's a rasa. My life is so bored, so I go and steal things." So Krishna is very accustomed to stealing. When he was a young boy, he would steal butter. Then he got a little more expert. He started stealing clothes. Stole the clothes of the gopis. But now he's thinking, now he's a youth. Now he's Kishore, Krishna Kishore. So now he's thinking, "I want to steal something very valuable. I've stolen butter. I've stolen a lot of small things in the village. I'm good at butter and clothes. But I want to steal something very valuable. Something very valuable." That's why, in this verse, in the last line, Krishna's Kaviraj explains, "Samajani, Samajani, Shachi, Shachi, Garba, Sindo, Harindu." He says that, translation, Prabhupada translates, "The Supreme Lord Hari, Harindu, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean.
So this analogy that Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining here, just as in the evening time, if we were in Puri now, we could see in the ocean, in the evening time, the moon rises from the ocean. And when it first rises, it's very golden in color, very reddish and golden, gaurarakta, very beautiful. So that moon, it appears that the moon is born out of the ocean. It appears out of the ocean. So the analogy is used that just as the moon appears or is born out of the ocean, from the Garbha Sindhu, Shachi Garbha Sindhu, that Krishna appeared out of the womb. He appeared out of the womb as Gauranga. So the word he uses is Hari Indu. Indu means moon, like the moon appears from the ocean. So why didn't he say Govindu or Shamindu? Because he's describing Krishna. There's a particular reason why he used the word Hari Indu. Because Hari, as I mentioned, he is a thief. The word Hari means one who steals. A thief or a robber is called Hari. So he said Hari Indu because Hari wanted to steal Radharani's love. He wanted to get this love, but he knew that if he begged it from Radharani, if he went and he begged Radharani, Radharani would not give it to him. And there's a reason why Radharani would not give her love, which we'll explain. So Krishna thought, I have to steal that love. This is the greatest treasure in Vrindavan. There's no greater treasure in Vrindavan than Radharani's Mahabhav. And there's a special type of Mahabhav that only Radharani has. It's called Modanaikya Mahabhav. This happens at the time of meeting. When Radha and Krishna are meeting, sometimes there's separation and union, and union and separation. Radharani is with Krishna, sitting with Krishna, and then someone says something and she feels, oh, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And she feels separation from Krishna. And then sometimes when she's right there with Krishna, and then she hears Krishna play his flute, then she embraces a tamal tree, and she thinks, oh, now I have Krishna. So she's feeling separation and union. This analogy is given. So this Modanaika is, and Krishna's amazed when he sees Radharani. So he wants to, I have to get that love, that Modanaika Mahabhav, that special love. Radharani is known as Mahabhav Swarupini. She's the very form of Mahabhav. She's made of Mahabhav. She is the very topmost expression of the purest loving service attitude for Krishna, is in the form of Radharani. So Krishna, to get that love, Krishna has to steal it. So Krishna dives into the heart. Krishna submerges himself in the ocean, Radharani's heart. He goes into Radharani, the ocean of the love, the ocean of Mahabhav in Radharani's heart. Krishna dives into that ocean. Shyamasundara dives into the ocean of Radharani's love, her Mahabhav, Samudra, which is within her heart. And when he comes out of her heart, after stealing that, he appears in this beautiful Gaurakanti, this beautiful golden form. Because the color of this love is a particular color, Mahabhav. The nature of Mahabhav, there are different ecstasies and thrills and happiness that the devotee feels when they're experiencing this intense love for Krishna. So the Acharyas explain that. There's four divisions. There's Dumayitva, Jwalita, Dipta, and Sudipta. Sudipta means completely inflaming. So this love of Radharani, the secret treasure that only Radharani has within the depths of her heart, and her heart is an ocean of this type of love, is called Sudipta Modanaikya Mahabhav. Sudipta means that all the different ashtasattvic bhavs are completely inflaming. She's experiencing all the eight ecstasies in an unlimited amount simultaneously within her heart. And that creates an incredible raging fire, Sudipta. It's called Sudipta Mahabhav. And the color of that Sudipta Mahabhav is Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi. It's Gaurangi. Gauranga! So when Krishna, when Shyamasundara, the bluish form, when Krishna dives into that ocean of Radharani's prem, that Hari Indu, and when he comes out, then he naturally becomes completely covered with this golden color. So this is how Krishna has to get that prema. He has to steal it from Radharani. That is why the word is used here, Hari. Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Sachi like the moon rising from the ocean. So Krishna rose out of Radharani's heart with his Gauranga form, this golden form. So this is why he used the word Hari Indu. Now the last point is why couldn't Krishna just beg this Mahabhava from Radharani. Oh, Srimati Radharani, I'm standing with folded hands. I have one request. You please give me that love, that Mahabhava. One Acharya explains that Radharani would not give that Mahabhava, that Modanaikya Mahabhava to Krishna, because she has so much love and concern for him that she could understand that Krishna would not be able to hold the ecstasies. He would not be able to contain the ecstasies and unlimited pressure and excitement of those bhavas and mellows that she's feeling within her heart. And if he received that type of love that she has, then he would experience great grief and great suffering. So she never wanted to give that to Krishna. So she kept that Mahabhava locked deep in her heart. But Krishna insisted, so much happiness you're experiencing from relishing this Mahabhava, I must steal that, I must get that. So richly endowed with Radharani's Mahabhava, he arose from the womb of Mother Shachi. But we see the proof of Radharani's foresight in the Gambira Leela. In Jagannath Puri, in the last years of Lord Chaitanya's life, last years of his life here in Manifest Pastimes, he was relishing that intense Adirudha, Modanaikya and Madanaikya Mahabhava of Radharani, that incredible intense mood of separation. He was grinding his face against the wall and making his gums and teeth bleed. He was gnawing at his teeth. He was grinding his teeth all night long until his gums became bloody. And when he became overwhelmed in that intense separation from Krishna, he's screaming and crying out, Krishna, 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 hey. Then his body would start to exhibit incredible sattvic transformations that have never been seen before. His body, under the influence of Radharani's Mahabhava, would become totally distorted and deformed. The joints of his hands, 8 inches of skin would manifest between at the joints, and his hands would dangle with 8 inches of skin between each joint. He would look like some kind of golden scarecrow or something, just hanging like this. And sometimes under that intense burning fire of separation from Krishna, his body would extend twice the normal size. He would become 14 feet long, which is like 5 meters long. And sometimes when he was overwhelmed and that Mahabhava was just burning up his heart and just tearing his mind apart with so many intense ecstasies, that he would exhibit this Korma Chaitanya Roop. His arms would fall right into his legs would be sucked into his trunk, and his arms would go in and his neck would shrink. He would look just like a turtle. His head would go inside his body. Korma Chaitanya Roop. So understanding that Krishna would not be able to contain, and what so much suffering he would experience by tasting the happiness that Radharani experiences and relishing her this Mahabhava, Radharani didn't want to give it. So Krishna had to dive in her heart like the moon rising from the ocean. He came out of her heart with this wonderful Mahabhava, and he showed Radharani's Mahabhava to the world. So for these three reasons, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to understand the Radha Pranaya Mahima, the exalted glories and incredible love of his most pure devotee, the incredible prema, and this Swadyo Madhurima, Adbhuta Madhurima, and he came with a desire to taste and relish this astonishing and astounding sweetness that is within himself, which he cannot approach without becoming other than himself. And then he came to experience that wonderful happiness that Srimati Radharani attains by relishing Krishna's sweetness and offering her very life and soul to his lotus feet for his pleasure. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.